realfaith.org.au.
Homelessness, just so people understand, I didn't know this myself until I was at a Salvation Army place trying to find accommodation, and they said to me, how long have you been homeless? And I said, I'm not homeless. And they said, well, you don't have anywhere permanent stay, you don't have permanent tenancy anywhere. And I said, no, but I'm not homeless. So I didn't even realise I was homeless.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through. Helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Carol Emanuel has a heart for helping people who are homeless because there was a time in her life when she found herself without a home. We'll find out what led to this 2.5 year period in her life and how she's helping people now. Carol Emanuel, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Also joining us today is the person who introduced Carol to me, Lynn Manhennett. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. Really glad to be here. I met Carol last week and only had a brief time with her, but I sense that there was a really, really interesting story here.
And you sent me a text, and I should say that I was just finishing off editing the interview that I did with the founders of Stable One Ministry, Tenny Willits and Trevor Ingemels, about helping people who are homeless. And I found out that there is a connection here. So when you sent that text, I said, yes, let's find out what it was actually like. Somebody going through being homeless, what that experience must have been like. And let me just start off. I'll just be frank with you, Carol. When I think of homeless people, you know, there are certain stereotypes and things that come to your mind. You don't fit any of them. I'm just being blunt with you here.
No, I guess I don't. Very little is known about homelessness with women, baby boomer women, me being a baby boomer woman. But that's what's happened to me. And I just learned that I wasn't the only one, that there was huge amounts of baby boomer women out there suffering homelessness in different situations and being forced into unsuitable accommodation.
Okay, yeah. So I'm very curious to know what events did occur that led to you being without a home. But first, let's back up and find out what is your background.
Well, if I go right back, my background is that I'm a 10-pound pom. I came out to Australia
when
I was six.
Please explain what that is.
A 10-pound pom. Well, the pom word isn't very, complimentary, so I've forgotten what that means.
But it's a slang term for somebody from England?
Yeah, for someone from England or from the UK, if you like, that the government paid for, then we could come to Australia for £10 with the whole family. And it was a way of populating Australia, and I will let you know that we have done our best. We're about 75 now. There was just my mother, father, and four siblings, and so we came to Australia.
So they got their money's worth, you're saying?
Australia's got their money's worth, yeah. Do the best we can, we say, yeah.
Okay.
So that's how it started. I went to live in Cabramatta Hostel in Sydney. And lived there for 4.5 years, and I've only met one other family that was in a hostel longer than us, and they were there 6 years, and they were friends of ours in the same hostel. So we grew up there, and I first came in contact. I've always had a heart for poverty and injustice, so suffering, and it started at the age of 6 when I came to Australia, actually, because while we were in the migrant hostel in Cabramatta, there was another hostel in the distance behind us that we could see, and that was what we used to call as kids the Aussie hostel. And that hostel was very run down and wooden and rickety, and the children were quite, let's say, snotty nose. And I just became aware that there were people worse off than us. Not that I saw us as being bad off, but I just became aware of it then. And so that's where my life started with poverty and injustice, if you like. And at the same time in the hostel, there was this family, Mr. and Mrs. Pinch. They didn't live there, but they used to come and teach Sunday school to the children. My parents weren't Christians, but they allowed us to go to Sunday school, my sister and I. And I loved going because we used to get these beautiful little colourful texts of Jesus and things like that. And he was my first love. And he's still my first love. And I just loved how he looked after children, cared for them, and comforted children, was always there for them, and they sat on his lap. And I just loved all that sort of thing. And it might be, I don't remember pictures of or stories in the Bible of children sitting on Jesus' lap, but they're the texts that were there. And that's when I had a heart for Jesus and I had a heart for poverty and injustice.
How did life unfold for you after that?
My father always worked in the baking industry, so he worked for Sunday Cross Bakeries for years. So we moved around a fair bit. And in my life, later on in life, once we left the hostel, the abuse started happening with my mother. And I don't mean my father, I mean my mum was abusive to us, physically abusive and other ways. And that was really, really, really difficult time. And I think, you know, looking back now, I can feel for mum without any family here in Australia. She just had another child. She went from a hostel where she didn't cook. We didn't have a kitchen. We had shared toilet facilities, shower facilities. She didn't really have a home much of her own, so it must have been very difficult for her. So she didn't cope with us as teenagers either and that sort of thing. So we had lots of abuse in the family. So I kept on running away from home from the age of 15 till I was about, for a year and a half, kept on running away from home because I didn't want to go back home because I was going to get hurt. And I went to live with an uncle and aunt I was living in Canberra at that time, came down from Canberra, came to an uncle and aunt. They took me in. And a neighbour of theirs who they were friends with were from the Reformed Church in Box Hill. And that family took me to the youth group. And then I got involved with the Reformed Church and I became a Christian when I was 17 in Oasis Youth Camp in Mount Evelyn.
Oh, wow.
Set up quite a foundation of faith early on in life for you, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I always knew that God loved me. And so he's always been there. It was just constant. I don't know how to say it. It was just like a constant companion, I guess, you know, just part of me, really.
And you were going to need that in the years ahead with what happened to you, weren't you?
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yes, definitely. And I used to have this picture in my head whenever I've gone through bad times, and I still do. And I just picture myself with Jesus having his arms around me and with my head is just leaning on his shoulder, you know, and just, you know, his arms are around me. I'm just being comforted. They were in the really bad times. I go to that visual. I'm a very visual person and that really helps me a lot.
And as life unfolded for you and circumstances got really difficult, I'm sure that would have been challenged. Do you want to tell us about what happened then?
Yeah, I got married when I was really young and my marriage broke up due to dishonesty in the marriage. So there was an incident where that was fraud was involved and I couldn't maintain my own integrity within the relationship, and that really bothered me because I like to be, you know, I'm an honest person. I see myself as a very honest person. So I left that relationship and I remarried about 5 years later. And the person I married, I didn't realise, but was an alcoholic. And it's because of, it's not so much the alcohol that is the issue, believe it or not, like people think, it's the behaviours that come from it.
Of course.
And the behaviours created a lot of instability in me and it involved my mental health. And because of the mental health issues, I just had to leave the relationship. It's not what I want to do. I have a lot of compassion for him because alcoholism is a progressive disease and that's still a great source of sadness for me. I love him very much, but not in the way that I used to love him. It's just that it's more a compassion that God's given me for him. The same with my first husband too. It's just a compassion I have for them both, yeah.
So how did that lead to you becoming homeless?
Well, I had to choose to live in the craziness and the unpredictability of it all because he was very much unpredictable like my mother was too in the abuse. He wasn't violent or anything like that, but the unpredictability of things that were happening made you walk on eggshells a lot and tiptoeing around and just waiting for something to crash basically, you know, in a metaphoric sense. Mm-hmm. So I knew that given that I already lost my home and business in the first marriage due to the fraud, so I had started again the second time round, you know, with my husband, the second marriage. So it was hard for me to make a decision to actually leave, you know, and go back to where I was again, where I'm starting all over again. And this time I didn't have children That was the blessing this time. I didn't have children to think about because all my children were married by the time I got married the second time. And, that's how I became homeless. So I left with just what I could fit in my car, basically. And it's still all I have is what can fit in my car. I think I've probably got a little bit more now.
And how many years later is that?
4 years.
Okay.
4 years. So I share a house now with two Christian women who are lovely. And still everything I own fits in my bedroom, except for my bicycle and my bike rack and some gardening tools. And I'm happy.
But when we think of homeless people, I think of the images of people I've seen in the streets of Melbourne with cardboard boxes and their few possessions living on the street. Now, you're talking about a different kind of homelessness. What was that like for you?
Yeah, well, we talk about I could never find cardboard boxes that were strong enough. No, I wasn't like that at all. Because I'm a baby boomer woman, and the stats out there say it too, that we have more social connections and people don't like to see us out on the street. So we're more likely to find someone that will support us even in a short-term basis. So I never couch surfed either, but I bedroom surfed.
What's the difference?
The difference is I got a bedroom and a bed.
Okay.
And, so.
Just people you knew?
People, family, friends of family, that sort of thing. But different reasons, you know, like, my sister took me in at first, but, there were situations with her and her husband and, I couldn't stay there on a permanent basis. So I had to move on. I moved on with a friend of hers and, that was working out, but then she was renting and they sold that unit. So I was only ended up being there like not even 3 months. And then I can't remember, quite honestly, I moved to a lot of places, you know, on temporary basis, back and forth for the 2.5 years. And homelessness, just so people understand, I didn't know this myself until I was at a Salvation Army place trying to find accommodation. And they said to me, how long have you been homeless? And I said, I'm not homeless. And they said, well, you don't have anywhere permanent to stay. You don't have permanent tenancy anywhere. And I said, no, but I'm not homeless. So I didn't even realise I was homeless.
How confronting that must have been for you.
It was, because I'm thinking, how did I get here?
Our guest today is Carol Emanuel, who went through a 2.5 year period without having a permanent place to call home. We'll find out more about the impact this had on her life when we return right here on Real Faith.
If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401 132 888.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and today Lynn Manhennett and myself are chatting with Carol Emanuel from the east side of Melbourne. She went through a 2.5 year period without a permanent place to call home. I'm just trying to understand. So you were living with your second husband, who was an alcoholic.
Yep.
And you decided to leave because it was unsafe?
It was not safe, but when you've gone through abuse like I had with my mother in the household, you're on tenterhooks all the time, unpredictability, and mentally it does a lot to you. Mm-hmm. You know, it does a lot of damage. And it was doing the same thing in this relationship. It was like I was revisiting my childhood in a way. And not that he ever hurt me or even threatened to hurt me. He didn't. It was the unpredictability of behavior.
So you knew you needed to be physically someplace else.
I need to be mentally somewhere else and physically followed. Yes. And emotionally just had to get out of it because I was going to die. Mm. I felt like I was going to die, and it's dying a death inside, and people would relate to that.
Yeah. But deciding to leave when you didn't have a firm place to go to,
yep.
I mean, you must really have been hurting.
Yes.
And desperate.
And desperate.
Yeah.
Desperate, yeah. And the thing was, I'd already, because I already had a marriage breakdown before, and God looked after me all through that and my children as well, I guess I just knew that he would look after me still. And I still believe that because he's never left me. He's always been beside me and he's attached to me is the way I see it. So I guess I just knew that it'd be okay. I knew what I was going to be in for. I didn't realize I was going to be that homeless.
Two and a half years.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But I had faith, I guess. I just had faith. I just knew he would look after me.
Now, I wanted to ask you, when you were bedroom surfing, as you said, what was it like? I mean, psychologically, how did that impact your life?
Well, there was no sense of permanency. And you were always aware that other people sort of wanted to help you, but they wanted you gone as well. Hmm. And not because of you personally, but because they wanted their lives or for whatever reason, you know, things happen to other people.
Because they were looking at it as a temporary situation.
That's right. So there was no permanency. You know, that was from the housing type side of it. But the other thing it did was that I was just felt so unstable. I always it was involved in my church life, my Christian life. Yeah. Like I was going to church, you know, I went to one church for 8 years, another one for 10 years. Every time I moved, I would change church. But I was always very stable in my Christian life. But all of a sudden I was going from here to there and not knowing what church to go to, trying to try different churches, you know, what it's like. Churches are very different. You know, I've always gone to the nearest church to where I've lived that, you know, I didn't even know the churches where I were because I was out of the area. Yes, I've always been, since I was 15, I've been in the eastern or outer eastern suburbs, Box Hill to the upper Yarra area, in the Dandenong. So it was just hard. It was just really hard.
I'm just thinking, I guess we just kind of take that for granted. You have a church life.
Yep.
Most of us consistently go to the same church.
Yep.
You're involved in a Bible study. There's a community. If somebody's sick, people bring you meals and things.
Yep. Pray for each other.
And pray for each other.
Yep.
All that support network.
Yep.
But because you're moving around, you didn't know which church you could get to the next weekend.
No, and I was always aware that I didn't have my family, church family praying for me, you know, my immediate church family praying for me. Because it's knowing that someone is, see, to me, I love church, but I love my fellowship group. Because my fellowship group is like a pastoral care group, a Bible study group, whatever you want to call it. But I didn't have that. So I had it a little bit, but not much in that time. And I found that really, 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 that was probably the hardest thing. Because just like I said, where Jesus was part of me and he's here right beside me, it was like on the other side, if you like, I had the church, but the church as a whole, you know, and I just felt I lost that. Yeah.
Carol, did you sense any kind of social stigma against you for being in that position?
Yes, definitely. Not so much, I would say not so much social stigma, rather than that people just didn't understand. Even if I told my story, very few people connected with what I was saying. Very few people. And I'm quite upfront with it too.
Right.
But, and I think it's partly because of, like you were saying, Eric, in the beginning, you know, what is homelessness, you know, to you? It's somebody who's living in a cardboard box. So I had to explain it and in some ways, and it's not any one thing that makes you homeless either. It's a whole myriad of things from your past and not necessarily something to do with you. It's just the way society is set up. You know, I was a woman that worked in my husband's business for 23 years. I didn't get paid for that. I'm not complaining. I didn't. We did that to support our spouses, you know.
Yep.
I was a at-home mum. I worked part-time in between that sort of thing. There wasn't equal wages when I was growing up. I didn't have the education. You know, it's a whole heap of different things. I had, you know, four children to think of, you know, and, yeah, it's just a whole heap of things that add up, you know.
You've really broadened my understanding, Carol, of what homelessness, I'm sure you'd agree, Eric.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine having everything I own fit into my car. I mean, my house is an average house, but it's got so much stuff and it defines you to some extent, and you've got somewhere to go home at the end of the day and know that this is my little haven, this is my retreat from the world. I can't imagine what it must have been like for you. And I've noticed you've used the word stability quite a bit throughout this conversation. And that's the one thing you were craving in your marriage and didn't find it. And then to escape from an unstable sort of situation, find yourself in an even more one, unstable one. So the strength of your life has obviously been the stability you've found in the relationship you've had with God.
I guess I haven't really thought about it like that, you know, but it's true. That is the one thing that has been stable.
Now, we're quickly running out of time, but how did the 2.5 year period of homelessness come to an end?
It came to an end when I was in a situation where I was absolutely desperate for accommodation. I had to leave suddenly one of the places because it was an unsafe situation. And I met a lady through Al-Anon. I'm a member of Al-Anon, which is Friends and Family of Alcoholics. And I met a lady there who was living in a place in Lilydale on Mangans Road.
Yep.
And I went there and they talked to me and I just said, I needed somewhere to stay. And they said, when? And I said, now. And they took me in. So I was there for just probably about 16 months, 18 months. And the thing about that place is though it was being sold. And so the tenancy was only 3 months by 3 months by 3 months. So again, it still wasn't stable. But it gave me somewhere to go in the immediate sense. They took me in, which I was very thankful for, met a lot of Christian folk. And it also gave me a garden again because I'm a gardener and I really, really miss my garden.
Which
and,
is something
yeah.
that
yeah.
you just take for granted that if you own a home.
Yeah. And that's why my gardening equipment came with me in my car because that was important. But when I was there, they've got 5 or 8 acres and I did all the gardens there. I did all the mowing and the gardens and they would look really great. And it has since sold now, just recently. And then I saw an ad on Gumtree, would you believe, for the two women who were looking for someone to share a house with in Moorabbin. And that's how I got permanent tenancy and no longer homeless. And that was since last year, May.
Fantastic. And some of the work you're doing, the volunteer work you're doing, is helping out people who are homeless.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was through the winter months, Stable One. I did a lot of research around homelessness, like housing for baby boomer women. Yeah, so anyway, it led to the project I did.
Isn't it wonderful the way God redeems those awful circumstances in people's lives and then actually uses it to bless other people? Because you strike me as a woman who's got so much compassion and understanding, and I would imagine that anyone that comes into contact with you that you're trying to help, they would be treated with a great deal of dignity and empathy through what you've been through.
Yeah, well, what's that soul saying? But for the grace of God.
Exactly. We could all say that.
Yeah, and you don't know, and you can be just one incident away, because when something happens to you in your life, there's never ever one thing that causes it. There's a whole myriad of things, you know, lots of steps along the way to create the issue, and that could be any of us. So you could have the perfect family with the perfect children, the perfect parents and all that, and there might be an illness in the family that brings the family down. It's just
a physical illness, mental illness.
It could be anything.
A job.
Things out of your control. One thing I learned that from when we lost our home and business years ago with my first marriage, that you think you're in control. Well, I've got news for you. You are not in control. We think we are, but we're not. And I still know that I am not. And it can be no fault of your own, nothing to do with you at all, but it's just circumstance that has happened and it's just happened in your life, that's all. And, so no one's actually chosen you to go through that suffering or incident or whatever happened. It just happens and that is just part of life and it's accepting. And that's why I guess I've never really asked, why me?
And then finally, how can we pray for you today?
How can we pray? I guess I'm just so thankful for my life. I'm just so thankful to God.
You've really inspired us today, Carol. Thanks for sharing your story.
Our guest today has been Carol Emanuel, sharing her story, her 2.5 year period of being without a home. Also with us today the person who introduced me to Carol Emanuel, Lynn Minhennett. Thanks for being my co-host today.
It was a pleasure. It was a privilege to hear your story, Carol.
It was great to be here.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.